afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
Gary Lucy here. What it do?
And that's our show.
All right. Get easy.
How you doing, Gary?
Doing good. I'm a little sleepy. I was up late watching those VMAs. Did you watch that yesterday?
I didn't watch the VMAs, and I read a lot of people tweeting it this morning.
Way to keep your finger on the pulse.
Not like you had
a music podcast to do the next day or something.
I know.
You could've. That's okay. That's fine. But it was so you know what happens. You know if anything exciting happens, people will talk about it.
That's right. Now, there were performances, I imagine?
There was performances and...
Were there videos? Were there awards?
There was hardly any videos. Like, that's the saw that, you know, that they don't show videos anymore. They've, like, when they were announcing the nominees for the videos, they showed the shortest amount of, like, video that they could for, you know, Foo Fighters and, you know, and just, like, you know, cut it off just before, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, it's besides the point. It's a big...
It's just a big party for the young people.
It's a party for the young people. And speaking of that, there was one kind of moment that brought me hope. Well, a couple of them after Foo Fighters won and Dave Grohl said something. It was kind of corny. But it was also heartfelt. It was like, you know, never give up faith in rock, you know, no matter how, you know, how down we may seem.
Exactly.
And that was, so that was nice. And, Brian May was there. He played with Lady Gaga.
That's great.
And then,
Brian May from Queen.
Right. Exactly. And, same hairdo, sticking with it.
Yeah.
But not gray now?
No. A little bit gray? Is that what you're saying?
It's fully gray.
He's let it go fully gray.
Poodle time, yeah.
Because I just saw him...
He looks like a barrister, like a British...
I saw him just about a year and a half ago in front of the Roxy, and he was probably still dying it then. But yeah, he's got the full head of curly hair.
But sounded really good, and there was one musical performance that was really like, wow, could you hit that first track here? It's got kind of a long lead-in. It was... you hear this band, Young the Giant, this song My Body, it was pandemonium. I know that's like produced a little bit, like, you know, like, okay, jump around when you see the cameras go on,
right?
But it seemed like real excitement and you know, a lot of good like stage diving and so really I always think this is Muse when it comes on the radio, but it's actually Young the Giant, who I think is from California. But you get into this, right? Pat's like grooving on this.
I like this, yeah. Sounds like something that might have been on the Brandon Flowers solo album.
Oh, okay.
Kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Yeah. Let's hear the like, hook here about
who do you compare these guys to?
That sounds pretty good. The Killers and I guess Muse. I guess.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hear this.
That sounds great.
Anyway, so that was kind of exciting. It made you think like, oh yeah. And then
and how did they sound live?
It was really good. It was really good. It's really worth a look on YouTube. And then kind of the other significant development was the best new artist that, you know, that's voted by the fans.
Oh, that's Chickenfoot, the Sammy Hagar Super.
It was Chickenfoot. No, Chickenfoot.
Chickenfoot?
They did not win. It was this fella, Tyler, the Creator. Have you heard about him? He's like the hot rapper, and he's come up like completely outside of the system. Like it's total, you know, internet, word of mouth, yeah, mixtapes like that. So nothing it's all, you know, the industry's like,
what I heard is on the eighth day, God created
Tyler the Creator.
Is that true?
And said, you take it from here.
Put it on a t-shirt.
And then Tyler created homophobia. That's he's really good, but he's got that kind of casual homophobia that some young people have that, you know.
Wait, he's...
I just say faggot. What's the big deal?
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, oh, you can't. Come on. You're good. I want to like you, but you're not making
is he a white
it easy.
Guy?
No. He's a...
Is he saying the faggot word like we would say, you're a pussy? Is that how he's saying it?
Yeah, more or less, but it's still not good.
You know, it's still not.
Like,
no.
I like gay people. I just like to say, well, you know, it still hurts. So
yeah.
But maybe he'll grow up.
Did anyone lip sync that you could tell?
Hmm.
Usually on the MTV Awards, I can tell when someone's lip syncing.
I think Chris Brown. That guy's ridiculous.
That guy's terrible.
He's the worst. He's not a good dancer. And then he was doing like a Kathy Rigby routine. He was like flying around like Peter Pan. And,
yeah. Then he would swoop right down in the audience and smack a bitch up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I didn't see it. Didn't he dance to Nirvana?
He did. He did. And
the silent partner, Matt Belknap, coming in.
Because they can hear me.
And he was, yeah, and there's guys on trampolines.
What did you say again? Say
he did a dance routine to Nirvana.
He did a dance routine to a Nirvana song?
Yeah, it was some medley of past winners or something. I don't know. It was,
so basically, he's trying to ride the coattails of everyone that's good.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a jerk.
He thought they said Rihanna, but then there's, okay, no, I'll do it. It was Nirvana. Stupid. I'm so tired. Yeah. but Pat, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, wait, no, that's not, you stupid Q. I didn't think about that. Should have gave a little extra lead out on that. It was, the point is, it's game time.
Okay.
If you want to play a game, this is,
what if I didn't want to?
Well, I guess we could move on to other things.
I'll play a game.
Okay. Here it is. The topic of this game, we won't time it. We'll just, Matt, you know, feel free to jump in. Maybe anybody could just jump in. This is going to be, bands or songs or album titles that have a word repeated in it. In other words, they double down, if you know what I mean. Okay?
I gotcha.
So here we go. So, starting it out here, we've got, let's say it's the group with, Simon Le Bon.
Duran Duran.
That's how you play. All right, very good.
That's that would be their self-titled debut album.
Right, and that's also their album. Okay, how about the song that Elvis Costello got in trouble for playing?
Radio.
Very good. Neil Diamond's hit?
Cherry.
Very good.
Not Holly Holy, Cherry.
Yeah, exactly. This is a song by the Thompson Twins, or maybe Robert Palmer also has a thing. You're seeking medical advice. You want a prognosis.
Doctor.
Is correct. And who else? Somebody
That'd
else
be
had
a UFO.
UFO outside of Doctor. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. That's Please okay. strike Thompson Twins from the record. How's about? Okay, it's a group the English group, and No Doubt did a cover of their song "It's My Life."
Talk
is right. This is a group that we got in trouble. There was a lot of chatter on the Twitter for people like, why didn't they talk about this group during the? During the cover band section, they're like known for their cover bands. They do a lot of covers.
Anthrax.
That's right. No, it was Me First and the Gimme Gimmies.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, that was a stupid one.
I said okay, like I knew. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Garage rock classic written by Richard Berry, performed by the Kingsmen.
Louie.
Right. Another garage rock classic. I think it was written by Tommy James, but Billy Idol had a big
Money.
Very good. Okay.
Matt, please sit down.
I'm gonna get one of these.
Okay.
Kay. Wait, I got one.
You can get one.
How about Amy Grant? And she's on a date in the video.
Baby.
Very good. All right. Neil,
does Amy Grant put out on that date?
No. It's very chaste.
It's real. Okay.
There's puppies and everything.
All right.
But okay. There's one of two Neil Young songs on Russ Never Sleeps that. The opening and the closing. One's acoustic, one's electric.
Hey, my.
Right, exactly.
That's a double.
That's a double.
Go to In and Out with that song.
How's about...
I don't know what I'm talking about. Gary's tired. I feel like I have the flu, but okay.
How's about David Bowie? You know, David Bowie won, I think, off Diamond Dogs and...
Rebel.
Right. John Parr? What does that make you think
Naughty
of?
Naughty.
Very good. Radiohead? Do you know the Radiohead one? That fits the category?
Radiohead.
It's kind of a recent one. It's like if you're trying to give somebody some sympathy, you might say...
Baby.
They're there.
Baby. Is correct.
I would say, baby.
All right. Well, I think... Oh, and the last one is... It's a Judas Priest album with that... I think it was like a compilation of some early works, from like 1979.
Oh boy!
It's like if you had two submarine sandwiches, it might be like
hoagie.
Almost. Hero. There you go. So anyway, that's the game for
you're,
today.
The cover of your notebook actually looks like it would be an album cover for Radiohead.
Oh yeah, it does. Look at that. Yeah, I think Pet Shop Boys might have had this.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold that up to the camera so people can see it.
Can you see that?
It's a bunch of...
Maybe scan that in tonight and you put it on
the Facebook
page.
Okay, people can see it. That's a good idea. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
People need to sign up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, if you're listening, I know we know approximately how many listeners we have, and we don't have that many people liking us on Facebook. So please like us on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun shenanigans goes on there.
Yeah, it's all music talk, you know, and people are, you know, posting videos of bands they like and... You know, if we missed a band that you love, people are posting it and posting upcoming topics that we will eventually get to. So, yeah, and all music talk right there.
Arguments, fights. Sometimes it gets a little personal. Pat forgets his mom's birthday on there sometimes.
But that's terrible.
That was a whole different
thing. Terrible.
Pre-show thing, but anyway, so that was the double game, which leads us into
our topic. This is a topic that Gary came up with, which I love. I think it's fantastic. Gary, you call this double downsizing?
Double downsizing. So many times a double album comes out, and it's there's like enough stuff on there for like a great single album, but they're like, please don't do us any favors, but you know they sprawl out and charge us extra, and this is. This is, you know, back during the album era. I guess it still happens nowadays, but
not that much, though, really.
Not as much, really. But
I mean, because you can fit a double album on a single CD,
more or less, yeah.
So they really don't say like this is a two CD set.
Yeah, or then they figured out they could just charge it for two albums.
Yeah,
like Use Your Illusion. But there are some classic double albums in rock history. But even these classic ones can use a little trimming.
But even Use Your Illusion, I think that's like two full, almost 75-minute.
Really.
Pieces of work, yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, there's any filler on there, I'm sure.
There's a little filler. I actually like those albums a lot.
I'm sure that's fine. What do you got on there? Some November Rain? What else?
You got some November Rain. You got some Coma.
Okay.
You got some...
Is that Terminator song on there? I like that.
Oh, You Could Be Mine?
Yeah.
Don't Cry.
Good. Two versions
with the Blind Melon dude.
Yeah, Shannon Hoon.
Yeah.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Knocking on Heaven's Door, which is what Shannon Hoon is still doing. their cover of Live and Let Die. Yesterday.
So they had to go out and find some material, but pad it out to 75 minutes. That's great. So perfect example. You know, they could have put those good songs you mentioned into one.
Yeah.
And maybe they'd be together.
I almost did that one today, but then I really feel that it's two separate albums because each one does have a different feel to it.
Okay. No, I'm
one's
sure it does. One's more
a little heavier. One's a little. It's just a little different.
Right, one's heavy and one's just kind of histrionic, like a little like. It makes that noise like Curly or something. But did you like that Chinese Democracy? Did you?
You know what? I have it and I own it and I've listened to it a little bit, but I can't fully endorse it because I haven't listened to it enough.
Yeah, I need to listen to it more too. That's one that really.
I will tell you something about Chinese Democracy. Mm-hmm. If you go to Best Buy right now,
yeah.
No matter what the sticker price says on it, it's $1.99.
Really?
And the same with the vinyl, too, because I picked up a vinyl copy just for fun, $1.99. So if you don't have vinyl, if you don't have Chinese Democracy, go to Best Buy, any Best Buy, and they're trying to get rid of them now because they were the only people who sold it. It was an exclusive.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And there's tons of them. And take it up front, $1.99. It's worth $1.99, definitely.
You heard it here. That's great.
That's a reigning endorsement.
Yeah, it's worth $2. So what shall we do? Shall I begin?
I'll let you go first, and then I'll follow your lead.
This maybe could have been the last huge double album that came out like a commercial. This is 2003, commercially successful, critically successful. It was Outkast, the Speaker Box, The Love Below. Yeah. 40 songs, 140 minutes. That's too long for a movie. That's like too, you know.
I mean, even if you cut it by half, we're still talking 20 songs. That's an Elvis Costello Get Happy album.
Exactly,
right there.
Yeah, like 2-minute things. And, you know, a lot of them are kind of like interlude-y or whatever. But I'm going to cut this down not only to a single album. I'm going to cut this down to a double A-sided single. Side A, man, hit that. That's your Hey Ya.
I've heard this.
Yeah.
This got some play, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. This is a classic. This is amazing. This is like in some weird time signature, like 11-7 or something like that. But it's amazing. This is side A. Side B. You got it? So this is your Speaker Box side. And let's go back to the Love Below side. All right. Boom. Done.
What's that second track called?
That was called I Like the Way You Move.
That reminds me of Earth, Wind, and Fire a little bit.
Really? Let's hear that again.
Let's hear that. Can you hear a little?
Sure. Yeah, totally. With the horns and everything.
Yeah.
I think that's apt description. It's great. And, you know, there's plenty of other good songs, but...
But for you, just those two songs is enough.
Those are classics. And this was like... Their previous album was so good, and that was like... That was such a big hit. They were like, okay, we don't have to edit ourselves anymore. We're just gonna, you know, so then they put out, which it was basically two solo albums, like, stitched together. Then they made that movie, and it was
just going to say, they became film stars after that.
Yeah.
Have they followed this album up yet?
Not so much. No. Right.
Nothing, no new material.
There's like been little dribs and drabs here and there, but yeah, nothing substantial. But
people in the arts have to know that whether it's you're writing a movie or a TV spec or you have your own podcast or whatever, editing is very important. People don't necessarily just want more because you can give them more.
That reminds me of a long, boring story. Which I'll say right now. No, anyway. But that said, yeah, true. Trim it up. People will thank you.
Yeah, they will.
Anyway, so what do you got for your first double up?
Well, I'm going to tackle a monster here. This is the Beatles' White Album.
Whoa, coming out, big guns.
Yeah, and so I'm sure there's people out there, you know, actually it's not really called the White Album. It's actually just called the Beatles. And I say, suck it. People call it the White Album. I know it says the Beatles on the front, but come on. What do you call it, Gary?
It's the White Album. Everyone knows it's the White Album. Yeah.
So I've cut this motherfucker down. It's got 30 songs.
Okay.
And I've taken it down to 15. And even with the 15 songs, it comes out at 42 minutes. That's a nice album.
That's good. That fits on one side of a TDK.
And you can just buzz through these and you'll hear that this is a great album.
So, okay, you're already wrong. This needed to go, but go ahead. Wonderful. I told you about strawberry. Awesome. She's not a girl. Unbelievable. Great.
Happiness is a warm gun. I basically removed any Ringo from the album.
This is probably... We're probably into side two now, right?
Yeah, we are. Checked into his... Something for the children. Why don't we do it in the road? I think he's talking about making out.
Love this song.
It's called I Will.
Good Ringo in there. Everybody's got nice.
Except me. When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. We'll stop and turn on it.
And that's it?
That's the 15. Now, I kept Revolution number one on, even though that's really not the version like from the Nike commercials.
Right, exactly.
And also the other version of Revolution on this album, Revolution number 9, which is 8 minutes and it's just experimental.
Sonic experiment.
Yeah, yeah. That's
the first thing that goes. Yeah,
that's the first thing that goes. And the other stuff, I Matt doesn't have these, but I got rid of Wild Honey Pie. I slaughtered your piggies. I didn't need piggies on there. I didn't need Sexy Sadie or Honey Pie or Savoy Truffle. I just got rid of that, and I think I just kept it almost more of a hits thing for me. And these other songs don't do anything for me. I don't know if Gary, if you're familiar with some of these other songs.
Well, I'm no fan of Back in the USSR. I just seen, you know.
Well, yeah, I understand it's overplayed and it's probably been in tons of movies.
And it's just like it's too self aware and clever, and it's like like a Beach Boys pastiche or something like that.
I can agree with you on
so
that.
So I'd kick that out, bring in the hit version of Revolution, and then tack on Don't Pass Me By, that Ringo.
All right.
That's good.
I can go with that. But we can agree, if we make your changes, it's better than the full 30.
Yes. And Sharon Tate's probably still alive right now.
Yes, you're right. And it's funny, I bought the, I didn't physically own any Beatles until the box set came out. I had stuff that I had borrowed from people and put in my iTunes, but then once the box set came out, I felt, well, I should buy it since I've been listening to them for free all this time. And so I'm one of those people that I listen to from the first album to the last album and everything, you know, oh, that's great. Oh, this is even better. And then when I got to the White Album, it was a chore at times to get through it. Like the good songs are great. And then the other stuff, you're just like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. You know, you just kind of hear them falling apart then. And like, they're re-recording Ringo's drums and you know, but
that said, the White Album is their ninth studio album. So,
in a very short time.
Yeah. So after eight albums, they're probably like, eh, let's do something a little creative. Not creative, but, you know, flex our art muscle.
I orchestrated a blockbuster trade in 1978 with this girl named Kelly Butler.
That sounds illegal.
Who I traded all my Kiss records for all her Beatle records. And I got I got White Album and Magical Mystery Tour and Sgt. Pepper and Revolver and everything. And she
got a Gene Simmons tattoo.
ended up going to the dark side. She started smoking shortly thereafter.
You did all this.
She started making out. I think I sent her down the wrong path. I feel bad.
Did you get to bang her because of this?
No. But she did hook up with this other kid, who was like he was like a proto hipster guy. This kid named Scotland Jackman, and he had like
I don't like that first name at all.
He had like big hipster glasses and
Scotland.
Yeah, and his brother's name Britain.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
And, there was no Wales or anything like that, but
down from the silent partner.
Yeah, but she was cute, but I really think I sent her down the wrong path. I should see if they're on Facebook. See what they're doing. Anyway,
after we're talking about them, hey, listen to our show. Yeah. Hey, I heard you talking about our stupid names. Gary, number two.
Number two is this. Speaking of hipsters, this is a cornerstone of any hipster library. It's a triple album from 1999 called 69 Love Songs by the Magnetic Fields.
This is triple downsizing.
This is going to be triple downsizing.
How many songs?
69 love songs.
Oh, 69. Okay.
Yeah, he started out the guy. Stephen Merritt is the brain trust behind Magnetic Fields, and he's often called like the Cole Porter of alternative rock. He has like, you know, very kind of like witty and sophisticated lyrics, but then like it's with this like really like lo-fi production aesthetics and like, you know, a lot of like ukuleles and kind of like strange instruments. So he had this project. He wanted to write 100 love songs.
Wow.
And then he just kind of like petered out at 69, and maybe like a handful of them are real garbage, like this one called Love Is Like Jazz. So it's just kind of like a freeform thing, but a lot of them are just amazing gems. So it was really hard to like pinpoint them. What I did was I made it 6 + 9 love songs. I took it down to 15 love songs, and this is one of them. This is called Crazy for You, But Not That Crazy.
I built a ship with my own hands to take us to the moon. I took a pen in my own hand and wrote you 100 tunes. Now I'm crazy for you, but not that crazy.
Kind of moves along. It's got some good things. And let's hit this other one. This is Claudia singing. Now, these have some clever lyrics here. Reno,
Dakota, there's not an iota of kindness in you. You know you enthrall me, and yet you don't call me. It's making me blue. Pantone 292. Reno, Dakota, I'm reaching my quota of tears for the year. Alas and alack, you just don't call me back. You have just disappeared. It makes me drink beer. I know you're a recluse. You know that's no excuse, Reno. That's just a ruse. Do not play fast and loose with my heart.
Anyway, so that's that. That's almost that in its entirety.
Reno, and,
but come on, you're making me blue. Pantone 292. That is very specific writing.
These guys are like a hipster swell season.
Yeah, kind of like that. Well, Swell Scene is kind of hipster.
Hipster
is.
Too, yeah.
So it was hard to like leave off 54 tracks, but so there was like a lot of tough calls, and maybe none tougher than this one is called Underwear. I felt like
he's going to be singing this one right now.
Yeah.
Feeling.
This ground was kind of covered by this other song called Fido, Your Leash Is Too Long.
Chicks pretty in their underwear. I call them chicks.
In this world,
when I see a chick in her underwear, I say, I'm going to get with you.
Does that work usually?
I just turned into Beavis and Butthead.
Now, are you like in the changing room at Lohman's when this happens? Anyway, so that's on. That didn't even make the cut. So
if that one didn't make the cut.
That's right. That's just showing you the quality that's left off. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put up my 15 love songs on the Facebook page, and people can see if they like it. If they're
is this
you know,
on iTunes? This can you find this on iTunes?
Yeah, this is still in print. You could buy them the albums individually.
I would say buy these songs individually. This single album will cost you $69.
Yeah, right.
Or a better value would probably be to buy it for $9.99.
Right. Yeah, just go ahead and yeah, buy them all. But I'd love to hear.
What if there's someone out there that's like, I don't like them all. I only like 18 of the. So I'm just going to buy them separately.
Buy them a la carte. I don't like to waste.
Buy them all. Yeah, but then I got to delete them. It's a big hassle.
It's just ones and zeros. It doesn't matter. It's like, they're everywhere. But yeah, Busby Berkeley Dreams gone. So many good songs. How Effing Romantic, that's gone. But
do you think he stopped at 69 songs, like as an inside
joke? You know, 69. Oh yeah, up top. Yeah,
I like Robin. Does the female vocalist? Yeah. Does she also play the banjo?
She plays piano, and then they have a couple of the celli.
Because there was banjo on that song.
There's some banjo in there, and yeah, that's there's. They're really great to see live because he has that thing where he can't take loud noises. So he's
perfect.
So he's like, you know, we'll play these songs that are all very like, you know, pouring his heart out, please love me, please love me. And then the fans, you know, erupt afterwards. And he's like, like covering his ears, just like, no. Stop loving me. You know, so it's real dichotomy. But that's the magnetic fields. So I hope maybe I turn you on to something there.
I like that.
Anyway, great. Well, what's
I love anything with banjo because banjo is an extremely hard instrument to play.
It is.
So whenever I see. So, like when I see like a Steve Martin and an Ed Helms play banjo, I'm like,
oh my God,
oh, did God give them all the talent?
Yeah.
Does Steve Martin get to do everything? Write a novel, movies, yeah. Plays, win a Grammy for comedy and for music? I mean,
is he happy though?
Probably not.
Yeah. Probably. You can look at all the things he could do.
That's true.
He's laughing at
what
us.
What if there's one thing he can't do? I cannot I cannot blow glass.
Yeah.
I've been trying and I cannot do it. I want to make my own bottles. Okay, my next double album. And again, mine are old because I didn't even think people still made a double album, but this goes back to 79. This band's 12th album.
Wow.
But the third album with this incarnation of the band, this is Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. And this was on the heels of Rumours. And so at that point, they gave a lot of creative control to Lindsey Buckingham. And if you've ever listened to a Lindsey Buckingham solo album, it's all kind of just experimental pop, and all of it doesn't work. Usually like about half of the album works. So I think there might even be, there's 20 songs on here. I think there might be 10 Lindsey Buckingham compositions on here, and it really sounds like almost like three solo albums, like Stevie Nicks and a Lindsey and a Christine, and it doesn't sound like a Fleetwood Mac album to me, even though I love it. I love Tusk.
Now, is there? I haven't listened to it all that much, but I can remember like this was a real symbol of like the rock and roll excess of the late 70s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we should get the USC marching band. Oh, yep. That'd be awesome. You know, and they, you know, send a separate limo for the tuba and everything. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
It was stuff like that. But, and then at some point, yeah, people realized, hey, Lindsey Buckingham's out of his mind. This is like cool stuff. And like, I think Camper Van Beethoven did an album length cover version of Tusk.
Of
like,
Tusk.
Yeah, they covered nice. The whole thing. Yeah. So it definitely has its fans. So I don't know. Like, is there any Revolution Number Nines on there that like obvious targets where got to get this out of there?
Actually, the Lindsey songs are super short.
Hmm.
They're like, there's some 2 minute songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of 2 minutes. There's a lot of songs under 3 minutes that are, here's a song, 148.
Hmm.
There's a lot of short songs in here. The 20 songs clock in at 74 minutes, and I took it down to 12 songs at 35 minutes.
Oh, that's nice.
And the opening track of the original one is Over and Over, and it's a really slow Christine McVie song. I don't like an album that starts out slow. I just never do.
You got to pep it up.
So so I removed that, and we're going to buzz through these 12, and I opened it with a song called The Ledge.
Tell you what it's really all about.
This sounds a lot like all the Lindsey Buckingham songs in this album, as you will find out. And then go to the next.
This is awesome.
One. This is called Think About Me, and I love this Christine McVie song.
This one's awesome, yeah. The Decembrists do this
they do?
Quite often, yeah.
It's good. Great. Yeah. Wasn't released as a single, and I think it could have been. And then another Lindsey song. This is called Save Me a Place. It's funny, the Beatles, we didn't have to tell you what the songs were.
You knew everyone in your bones, but this sounds cool. This sounds very
cool.
Not dated or anything. This is like...
And then... This was a...
Sarah, right?
Yeah. Without an H, just like my daughter's name. I love all songs named Sarah. I love any. I love Sarah Smile. Anything that's Sarah, I love it. Everyone's heard that. This is called What Makes You Think You're the One?
What makes you think you're the one?
A lot of Lindsey songs, he just starts out with what the title of the song is. I'm not kidding. This one's called Storms. It's a Stevie song. Christine McVie got cut out a lot on this album.
That's the way it goes. Nothing personal, baby.
Another Lindsey song. And that's the title of it. That's All for Everyone. Another Lindsey song. I love this song, Not That Funny.
They seem like sketches for songs, some of them. Like, yeah.
This is called Angel. This is Stevie's song. Nice little groove.
Yeah.
Three more. Oh, hey.
Some more of this kind of two-steppy song.
Yep, exactly. This is called That's Enough for Me, and the next one is called I Know I'm Not Wrong. More of it. Don't Blame Me, because I Know I'm Not Wrong.
It's nice.
Yeah. But it's... Really feels like a Lindsey solo album, though. Mm. And then, of course, a song that I don't know what this is about. I look at the lyrics. I don't know why it's called Tusk. It's not about elephants.
Yeah. Oh.
Matt says it's about your junk.
Maybe. I don't know. It's, there's something ominous going on. And
it's hard to believe this was a top 10 single.
Yeah.
This went to number 8.
Nuts.
It is. And it was 79, so MTV wasn't around yet. So it wasn't like they had a cool video. And that's why. So I guess Fleetwood Mac at that time could release this song.
There was a video of it, though. But
there was, yeah.
Where they're just horsing around at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, and John McVie's not there, so they have a cardboard cutout of him. They just carry it around.
Nobody noticed the difference.
And then they just kind of yell Tusk at the end of it.
I mean, drugs are probably part of the explanation, but I'm sure there's... I wonder if they got... Maybe there's one of them 33 and a Third books. We can look it up and see what it's all about. But it seems like some of those Lindsey songs, maybe they could cram a couple together, make one the middle part. And
yeah.
But I'm sure, they were probably in the studio for a long time.
And, I think that album cost $1 million.
$1 million?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And it was list price was $15.98, which was unheard of.
That was real money back then.
That was, because even on sale, it's like $12.99. What? The man is trying to make me.
Yeah. And then here's, some wankery. Yeah, I want rumors too.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone wanted.
Yeah. So anyway, you know what? That very same year, like the last week of that same year, is my third selection came out, and it's
last week of 79.
Last week of 79, but still good enough to make it Rolling Stone's greatest album of the 70s, and it's a double album called London Calling by The Clash, and it's great. This one was really hard to cut up. A lot of
this is a live album.
No.
London Calling's not a live album.
No, there's it's a studio album, and this was their third album. And
I thought London Calling was a live.
There's
album.
There's a concert photo on it of the bass player, smashing his bass, but it's definitely a studio album. Well, I think you're in for a treat, Pat, because this
isn't Train in Vain live.
No.
It's what all the studio. What is wrong with me?
You've been laboring under the delusion that this was.
I thought that was a live album.
Right. This is Train in Vain was in fact tacked on at the very last second,
so they had a single.
Yeah, exactly. But in my world, the worst shall be first, and the last shall be first. So I made this the opening track instead of London Calling.
Okay.
Bumped down London Calling to the opening track of Side 2. This is about two-thirds Joe Strummer song.
Did you remix this album, Gary?
I remixed it. Did you have
the original master tapes? Because it sounds like you did a lot of work on this.
I really did. But I retained a lot of the cool Strummer songs and all the hits.
You own their masters is what you're telling me.
I do. It was I want them in a bed. What was it? Charity auction. But
didn't you trade all your Kiss albums for these?
and for the services of Kelly Butler and the brothers Jackman.
Oh, you remember the Jackman 5? Oh, these guys are fucking great.
It was Scotland, Tito, Britain, Wales, Ireland.
But still a Tito.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
This album is great. It has Clamp Down, Lost in the Supermarket, Spanish Bombs, and Death or Glory, and this Joe Strummer classic called Hateful. A lot of good maracas shaking in there. Alright, so there's got to be some cuts. So, card sheet, clean out your desk. Lovers Rock, your services aren't needed here. Also, Revolution Rock, You Go To, Right Profile, and probably the most controversial cut I made was, this is the second song in the album, never cared for it, it was always kind of a speed bump for me, I was always wanting to get past it, it's called Brand New Cadillac, and it goes...
And not written by them.
No, it was a slim cover, but you know, it's just like, you know, who needs it, come on.
Sounds like a Stray Cats song.
Exactly. Yeah. Is this fun for anybody? I don't know. Maybe it's fun to play. Who knows?
Well, that's true too. There's a live factor because this is a live album.
I picked it different.
Okay, here's what you need to do. The next time you come in here, I want you to bring this album to me so I can listen to it. Because I have to be honest with you, and people can yell at me. Uh-huh. Or whatever, or hate me. I could never get into The Clash.
Wow.
I know. I've tried. I've borrowed others. But I've never heard of London Calling top to bottom.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a whirl because I liked what you played so far. But I so thought this was a live album because it was double and there's a live picture on the front.
Right.
And London Calling, that sounds like it might be like hey, it's live in London.
Yeah.
So
why are you calling me? Come down to the concert.
Yeah, just come over.
Yeah. We're playing live.
It's so funny. When I listen to the Ramones now and when I listen to that early Elvis Costello and the songs that you just played here, this music was like punk. It was like wild music. And now when I hear it, this could be Bill Haley in the Comets.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be Buddy Holly. It could be any of that just rockabilly groove stuff. It's not as rockin' as you remember it from 77, 78, 79. It's funny.
Seemed very threatening at the time.
It really did. It doesn't sound threatening at all now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what?
You own this? You own
sure,
a physical copy of this?
You know I don't, but I got it on the.
I cannot take a bootleg copy from you. Yes, I can bring it. Okay. No, I'll remind you because I do want to hear this now because I liked a lot of that. I
think you like it.
So my final entry is an album we've talked about before on here, and I say that I don't care for it. It's from 1972. It was just re-released this year. Everyone says it's the greatest Stones album of all time, and I do not think it is. It is Exile on Main Street. And Gary had mentioned that it's not so much that it's a great album sometimes as that it's just the story.
The mythology surrounding it.
You know, because they rented a house in France. They were exiled to France, right?
Yeah, and Graham Parsons hanging around.
Yeah, and they just
Anita Pallenberg.
They lived there and partied, and then when they felt like it, they would go in the basement and they would record this album, and... It's funny because it clocks in at 67 minutes. So nowadays, this would just be a single CD. But back then, it was two discs, four sides. And I have taken it down from 18 songs to 10 songs. Let's do it, Matt.
Nice. Sure.
Rock, this is... Now, the songs that I love on this, I love. Rocks Off is great.
Doesn't get much better.
No. And a great way to open an album.
Yeah.
I hear you talk when I'm on the street. Your mouth don't move.
And then this is Rip This Joint. This is a Slim Harper cover. Shake your hips. This song still sounds great today. Could you pause a second, Matt? Now, just so you know, all those four tracks that we just played, those are actually, that's side one of the album, except I took off Casino Boogie, because who the fuck cares about But yeah, those are four of the five tracks on side one, so...
We're off to a good start.
Yeah, you, side one, you're like, woohoo! Okay, go ahead. This is Sweet Virginia, Cool Jam. Loving Cup. One of the better Keith lead vocals. Happy. All down the line. Pause it 1 second, Matt. Actually, and Happy was from side three of the album. It's the only song I took from side three. Side three, the ones I just can't get into at all, are Turd on the Run,
yeah.
Ventilator Blues,
sure.
Let It Loose, I Just Want to See His Face. You know what I find, too, when I listen to this? The songs I don't like are the ones that sound like they were recorded somewhere else. Like they have a dirtier, grittier something that doesn't appeal to me, but okay. So we have... Shine a Light.
Shine a light on you. Give a song.
And then I close it out with Soul Survivor, which is how the real album closes out, with Shine a Light and Soul Survivor.
You really condensed it down.
So yeah, the last three songs, All Down the Line, Shine a Light, and Soul Survivor, those are all off side four. Plus Stop Breaking Down, which is a Robert Johnson song, which, you know, I don't know.
I would have taken one of those bluesy boogie woogie numbers from the first side and kind of moved it down there to the bottom three and
I didn't resequence it, Gary.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. But that's part of the fun. That's part of the...
We were supposed to resequence this into a
coherent thing. You think like, oh, what's going to be side two and what's going to kick off side two and
you know what's funny? You know what's funny is that the 2010 re-release had a bonus disc of songs that they didn't make the album. That they, you know, they recorded some new vocals and stuff, basically kept the feel. And there were some great songs on there, like Pass the Wine and Plundered My Soul.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why wouldn't those, wonder why those didn't make the cut?
That is probably the greatest thing we're missing from the album era. Is, you know, people talk about like the big artwork and things like that, but...
To roll your joint on.
But sequencing was such a huge part of
it.
And just like, you know, knowing what, you know...
Now I find that CDs... Because you pop your CD in, they seem to front load the CD.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're just going to, then you take it out of your car.
Yeah.
And you put it back in and you hear, you know, you don't jump to track seven where you left off. You just.
Exactly.
So a lot of times I think it's front loaded a little bit.
Yeah. And then sometimes it'll like blend it together a little bit. And
maybe that'll be a topic, some front load.
Front loaded.
The first side with the best side ones, front loaded.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. And now there's, so any other great double albums you'd want to recommend to people? Anything that...
Well, Use Your Illusion, of course.
That's a good one. Oh, I wanted to talk about the river a little bit. There's did you know that Bruce Springsteen, that was originally slated to be a single album.
Uh-huh.
It was.
Wonder what the running order. Do you know the running order of that?
The running order was set. They had mastered it. It was on the slate for Columbia. It was going to be called The Ties That Bind.
Okay.
And if you go to a website called Consequence of Sound, and you can put in like, you know, Ties That Bind or something like that, you can find it pretty easily. And it's on other places. And then there's this other website called Guitars 101 that actually has like this remastered version. You can just listen to it. It's all songs from The River, you know, except for this one called Cindy. And now would have been a good time to play that, but I forgot to bring it.
Cindy's probably out there somewhere, right?
It's probably out. Well, it's on this thing if you go to Guitars 101, but you know, it's just interesting
songs. Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a single album, and then
Bruce is here.
At the last minute, I called up Columbia Records, and I said, "Mr. Columbia, I gotta have 8 more songs." And that's when we recorded some great tunes.
Cadillac Ranch.
Ask me how many more songs we recorded.
How many more did you record?
We recorded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
A couple things.
Thanks for popping by.
You're welcome. He's welcome. Oh, he left. Couple things out this week. It's not music, but if you like comedy, it could be music to your ears. It's a friend of the show. Doug Benson's new CD is out this week called Potty Mouth.
Nice.
And I think you can get it on iTunes immediately, and then the physical will also be out this week. Also in stores is Counting Crows, August and Everything After Live. They play the whole album from 2007. Because no one wants to hear their new songs, so let's play our most popular album live. But it's a really fun live album. I enjoyed it a lot.
What would be the advantage there? Is there maybe some storytelling in between?
There's some storytelling. There's some shenanigans. And the live versions are definitely longer with Adam Duritz talking through some stuff and vamping. Is that what they call it? Vamping.
Oh, that's fine. Or you know, just give them a little behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. And
one of the tracks is called Talking. What track is
it?
Track 4? Don't download track 4 because it's just him talking.
It's just him talking. I saw him at Amoeba one night, like in the Counting Crows section, mm-hmm. with like a fan, you know, kind of guiding him through. He's like, yeah, this is a good one. This is garbage. Avoid that. Get this one. You know,
buy this one that I made.
Yeah, exactly. He was being very candid about it. He seems like he has a pretty well-placed ego for like having such an annoying singing style and everything, an affected manner. But he seems like a cool guy.
His voice always reminded me, when I first heard I forget what song it was, I thought it sounded like Van Morrison a little
bit. Yeah.
Like put on.
It's definitely in there. I like that Shrek song.
Accidentally in Love.
Yeah, that's good. And they got some tunes.
And then if you watch Breaking Bad, kudos to last night's episode or this week's episode for they had a Pretender song, Boots of Chinese Plastic.
Oh, that one. That's
I love it. It's from their 2008 album, Break Up the Concrete. I'm holding it in my hand. And it's a great, great Pretenders album. And that song is great. So I was so psyched. As soon as I heard the little guitar groove at the beginning, I yelled out, "Boots of Chinese Plastic!" And my wife said, "I can't watch TV with you anymore."
Matt, can you pull that up on YouTube and we could go out with some Boots of Chinese Plastic?
Oh, okay, let's do that.
What's going on next week? Where do we have that? Is it a surprise?
Are we doing this?
Maybe we could do that. Yeah.
What are you thinking? I already picked my ones for next week.
Oh, you did? Okay, well then, yeah, let's do that next week. Next week we kick off the Rock Solid Rock and Roll Encyclopedia. A lot of good, things to, you know, good recommendations to download and stuff like that. And that's gonna be a good one. And remind you once again, please like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter and write a review on iTunes. It seems like those really dried up, those iTunes reviews. I would be nice. I wouldn't mind if you.
I think maybe a lot of people just can't be.
Isn't it enough that I just listen? Yeah. And we
do you ever write a review? Do you ever go and write a review?
Every once in a while. And I feel like very heroic when I do it. And I always let the people know that I wrote your review there. So, you know, so it is an act of heroism in this day and age. So
I always like when I read a bad review and then I'll click on the person's name to see what else they reviewed to maybe see what they like, and then they always end up liking something that I'm like, they love Danzig. Okay, well, maybe we're not the podcast for them. Okay, here we go. Pretenders, 2008, Boots of Chinese Plastic.
I'm Gary Lucy.
I'm Pat Francis and Matt Belknap, and thank you, Never Not Funny, as always.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm your whore and gay, kill Buddha, please. Pity humble little peasant that's begging on her knees. confusion fills my head like an empty can. I spent a million lifetimes loving the same man. Whoa, every drop that I've run through the